talk a lot about the changes to work, and the four-day work week has come up a couple of times. So I spoke to Rob Krechek, who talks about how to implement four-day work weeks in organizations. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. So before we dive in, why don't you tell a little bit of the story? So how have you got, where are you on your entrepreneurial journey? What have you done so far so that people get a sense of what your experience is?
Oh man, where do you want me to begin? I guess I don't think of myself this way, but other people have described me as a serial entrepreneur, and this is my ninth business in about as many years. And, I actually started my career as a sell-side equity analyst in a finance and a Wall Street job. And I analyzed medical device and pharmaceutical companies. And I really liked learning all about the financial markets, but I just didn't feel like I was helping people enough. And so I ended up, I was working the 60-hour week day job, and I started my first business, quote, on the side, which, is pretty difficult with a 60-hour week job. But I opened up my first Anytime Fitness Health Club. Once that was successful and I was able to, cover my living expenses, I quit my day job, traveled around the world to Central America, South America, and Europe with a backpack, and then came back and ended up owning two more Anytime Fitness Health Clubs. And then after that, I also owned four You Break I Fix cell phone repair stores. And then I also had a tech startup to help small businesses generate sales online. And then my latest company is Humans First, a consultancy to help other companies officially transition from a 5-day work week to a 4-day work week.
Well, that's the area that got me interested. So I wanted to, what got you interested in looking at the 4-day work week?
Yeah. Maybe I can actually start with a story about how I realized, this problem that I think is happening to the entire world. And that will help you understand why I'm focused on the 4-day work week. So I was in one of my cell phone repair stores one day, and I was checking people in like I'd done, thousands of times. And this middle-aged woman comes in with her son, and I'm guessing her son was maybe 15 years old or so. And she's literally shoving him up to the front counter, like physically pushing him to the front counter. And she said, "Hey, Tyler, you need to tell this man what you did to your phone," because he had broken his phone, right? And the kid, looks at me, and he could barely stammer out a sentence. He can't look me in the eye. He has very poor body posture. And, I felt terrible. My heart went out to him because, that actually reminded me of myself when I was in high school, because I had extremely bad crippling acne. And I was also very not self-confident, and I had low self-esteem during that time. So I did my best to help this kid out. We fixed his phone and everything went fine. But then I was, I started paying attention. And a couple weeks later, a similar scenario happened with a different woman who came in with a different child. And again, the child was very difficult to converse with and just wasn't confident. And then I had my aha moment. I thought to myself, well, maybe it's because of technology that these kids are behaving this way. And, the technology could be causing them to not have social skills, right? And again, like, I just want to be super clear. I understand that your audience here is MSPs and people in the IT industry. I'm not saying technology is bad. I'm a nerd. I built my first computer in middle school, right? So like, I love technology. The way I describe my stance is I'm not anti-technology. I'm pro-humanity. And so what I realized is that the how and how much we're using technology is significantly impacting a lot of areas of our life that we don't even realize is happening. And what I want to do with the information that I've learned over the last 4 years in researching what I call technology mindfulness is help companies transition to a 4-day work week with no loss in profitability or productivity. And when I say a 4-day work week, I mean 4 8-hour days, not 4 10-hour days. So it is truly possible for an entire company to be 20% more productive and then have an extra day off so that they can spend time with the people that they love most in this world.
So the obvious first question here is, and you've got experience with this, is if these are services organizations, there's an expectation of delivery of service that matches your customers, right? And most customers have an expectation of, well, Monday through Friday, they're open.
Yeah.
How do you move from a services org that's servicing a 5-day a week customer to 4 days a week?
Yeah. So I know that this is, a lot of times when I explain this to people and they have, both of my businesses have been service companies, a fitness company, health clubs, and then cell phone repair stores, for sure, service-based, right? And, I get the business model for service-based companies. And you might say to yourself, well, this seems impossible. Like, how could you transition a service-based company to a four-day work week? But if you actually look at where the four-day work week started from, Andrew Barnes owned a 240-employee financial services company. And in 2018, he read this article in The Economist on a flight, and then he decided literally overnight that he was going to transition his entire company to a four-day work week. He basically had no plan. He had no precedent to do this. And then he worked with a couple of university statisticians to measure everything and essentially do like a study, right? And so what he found is that at the end, so he took this 240-person service-based company with no game plan. He transitioned them to a four-day work week. And by the way, in New Zealand, where he's from, 4-day work week is actually 30 hours. It's not even 32 hours. So like we're talking even less than an American 4-day work week. And what he found at the end of the study was that productivity at the firm remained the same despite everyone working way fewer hours. But interestingly, profit per employee actually increased 14.5%. So there's a business case for this, there's an employee case for this, and there's a client case for this. Everyone wins if you do this correctly. And so it is totally possible to transition a service-based company to a four-day work week, despite people thinking that it's like mind-bendingly impossible.
Okay, so but you got to go a little bit further than that. So I get the destination point, but don't I need more people? What, walk me through some of the basics of what you've got to change in order to deliver. You're still delivering service.
Yeah.
5 days a week, mm-hmm. but you've only people four. Well, you get a little specific on how you do.
Totally. This. Yeah. So I realized that I didn't answer that part of your question. So let's, you know, this is just a very simplified example, right? But obviously there could be specifics to your particular company that, you know, I could talk with you on. But basically, let's say that there is a team of 10 people and all 10 people do the same job, right? So what you could do pretty simply is you divide the team into two groups. Group A works Monday through Thursday. Group B works Tuesday through Friday. That way you have enough coverage for 5 days a week, but each person individually is working only 4 days a week. So, you know, some sort of scenario or rotation like that is typically what these firms would do in order to ensure adequate client coverage while still only letting each person work 4 days a week.
Okay. Now, if I'm thinking that through and I'm assuming a reasonably steady incoming workload, particularly if you've got like a help desk or a service desk style group, you're going to have slightly less resources on Mondays and Fridays, right? How at the same time are we increasing productivity when we have less resources dedicated on certain days?
Yeah. So what it really comes down to is not looking at time as the input, but looking at, you know, whatever the key metric is for that position. So let's say, for instance, you're a technician, like a help desk technician, and you're, you know, the number one KPI that you're trying to maximize is number of tickets served, right? Or number of tickets resolved, we'll say. So, you know, what you would be doing is looking at all the ways that you could, you know, cut out other things that you're doing in the business that don't contribute to tickets being resolved and minimize those things and then maximize time spent resolving tickets, which I'm guessing you're probably saying, well, most companies are probably trying to do that already, right? But what what a lot of companies don't realize is there's a lot of like overhead stuff that those employees are probably doing that doesn't really directly contribute to, order fulfillment, we'll say, or like fulfillment of the business. For instance, meetings, email, Slack, those three things right there for some positions, I'm not saying it's all of them, but for some positions, email, Slack, and meetings can literally be more than half of your day, more than half for a lot of companies. In fact, the average white collar worker sends and receives 126 emails per day. And so if that takes you just 2 minutes per email, that's literally half your day right there. And so by eliminating those, you know, again, or I shouldn't say eliminating, but by greatly reducing those overhead activities that provide little to no value, like email, Slack, and meetings, you can increase the amount of time that the employees are spending on the important stuff that actually generates revenue and less time on the non-important things that are really, again, mostly a waste of time.
Okay, so implied in that is a statement that you think a lot of organizations are just being really wasteful with the time. Is that what it comes down to? Isn't there argument for you need it for management, or you need it for culture building or training? Like, what's the, what are we eliminating here to get that?
Time? Yeah. So he, like, I can explain some, I love numbers, right? And data, just cause I'm an analyst. And so I'll explain some numbers for you, and maybe that will elucidate this a little bit more. So, if you, let's pretend you're at work and you're just having an amazing day, right? Like, you're crushing it. Like, everything is going into place. You're just getting a ton of stuff done. Everything is just working for you. That is a psychological state called flow. And there's a certain set of conditions that need to be possible for you to get into this flow state. Well, what's interesting is when, you know, they've done these studies of executives, and when the executives are in flow, they're up to 500% more productive than when they're not. And so what that means is if you're just in, if you're in flow for just 2 hours a day, you can literally get more done in 2 hours than you could in an entire day without flow. Incredible, right? Like, very, very interesting. Well, here's the problem. When we're in flow and we get interrupted, it takes us 26 minutes to get back into flow. Well, the average person checks their email and Slack once every 6 minutes, and they're getting a smartphone notification once every 15 minutes. And so you're doing the math and saying, well, we're never in flow. And that's absolutely right. The average person is never in flow, which means that they're never getting as much stuff done as they could, and they're never doing as high quality work as they could. And so the, a lot of the ways that this system is set up is that it helps you eliminate distractions and focus on what matters most and get into flow so that you can get more stuff done in less time. And again, I know that that it makes it sound like almost every company is being wasteful, and they think they're being productive, but they could be way more productive. And the reason I know this is I myself, before I started researching all this stuff, I read all the productivity books, Getting Things Done, 4-Hour Work Week, all these, right? All these productivity books. And I thought I was productive. And then I started doing hundreds and hundreds of experiments on myself and trying these different techniques and methods. The reason I needed to do those, by the way, is because I have ADHD. And so I'm very prone to distraction. And so I was experimenting with ways that I could not be distracted and use technology to guide me to better quality work. And after hundreds of these experiments on myself, I realized that there were certain things that I was doing that exponentially increased the amount that I could get done every day. And it was a total game changer for me.
All right. Give me an example of one of those. Like, what's a big thing that you change that increases productivity
so
that way?
I think one of the biggest things, and again, this sounds simple, but you would be surprised at how many people struggle with this. It sounds so simple in concept, but it's called time blocking. And what I mean by that is setting aside dedicated time on your calendar where you don't do anything else other than focus. And so here's what this looks like for me personally. So, and this, by the way, Harvard Business Review did a study of 100 different productivity hacks. And this was the one that after surveys of thousands of people, they all agreed was the number one thing that helped the most. So even if you don't believe me, like, there's a study out there that shows that this is really helpful, right? And so what I do is, and again, like, there's many different ways to do this, but what I've chosen to do is every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., repeating forever, Monday through Friday, I have a block of time on my calendar that says GSD. And what that stands for is get shit done. And so during GSD time, here's what I don't do. I do not check my email. I repeat, I do not check my email. I don't take phone calls. I don't check my phone. I don't make appointments. I basically do I don't do anything that could interrupt me. And then I will use my, I'll have 1 to 2 things written on a post-it note for that day where this is my most important 1 or 2 things to do today. If I get this done, the rest of the day is a win. And so during that 3 hours, I will work on those 1 to 2 things from my post-it note. And again, eliminate distractions and just focus. And you would be amazed how much work you can get done in 3 hours with a block of time. And that one thing has allowed me to increase the amount that I've been able to accomplish exponentially over the last 3 years.
Okay. So let's recircle back around to something you said that I want to dig a little bit deeper into. You talked a little bit about, you know, moving away from time to measuring via other KPIs. Makes sense. And in the MSP and IT services industry, we talk about KPIs all the time. What's the guidance that you give to leaders and managers for helping pick the right KPIs to measure?
That's a really great question, Dave. And here's, you know, I'm a very big fan of having a very collaborative approach, because if you're a manager and you just, you think about this in your head and you decide that, oh, like your employee might, you know, your employee Dave, for instance, his KPI should be this. And then you don't discuss that with him and you just tell Dave, right? You're going to be like, that wasn't a discussion. You're just ordering me to do this. And maybe I feel differently about the KPI. Or maybe I don't feel that it's relevant, or maybe I think I have a better one, right? And so that to me would be very demoralizing if I told you that, because you're not included in the process. And so what I advocate is, you know, the manager sits down with the employees, ideally individually, most likely, and you discuss what you think could be a relevant KPI. But again, it's a discussion. It's not a mandate. And then you talk about it together and decide together what could be the most relevant measure, or a couple measures for you to analyze or measure going forward. And I think if, you know, it's a collaborative approach where the worker is heard, seen, and understood when this KPI is chosen, they're going to be so much more bought into the process and much more motivated. And that's going to completely change the effectiveness of how this is going to work.
Are there kinds of companies that you don't think are good for conversion to this, that it just, that it struggles to, or is it possible to do it for any kind of company can move to a 4-day work?
Yeah. It seems like, for instance, like if you owned a commercial home painting company, right? Like you can only paint so fast. I mean, how do you get 20% more productivity out of those people? Right. And, but there are plenty of examples of companies who have done that, or actually manufacturing companies. Again, it's like you're literally producing widgets. How on earth would you just produce widgets faster? But they've done this, right? And so I don't think it's appropriate for every single company. I do think categorically the companies that this is not appropriate for are probably either very new companies or companies that are growing super fast. Like if you're growing so fast that you can barely keep up with hiring, this is not the ideal thing for you to be implementing, because you just have other bigger fish to fry and you have too much going on already. And so it's not appropriate for you. But I think for 80% of companies, this is appropriate for them. And again, with a little outside the box thinking, you can totally do it.
So if somebody's thinking about getting started, what's the first thing they should work on to start moving towards being able to implement a 4-day work week?
That's a really good question. I mean, the first thing that I do in my process is to measure everything, right? Like I want to measure, you know, output per employee. I want to measure like productivity per employee. I want to measure like all the standard, you know, financial KPIs, right? And that's just so that you can get a good base. And by the way, ideally you would do that before telling any of the employees, hey, we're thinking about a 4-day work week, because as Andrew Barnes saw when he did this transition to this 4-day work week, he actually made a mistake and he measured these numbers after telling the employees they were going to do that. And so it kind of tainted the results a little bit. Again, not like it was a deal breaker, but it would have been a little bit more statistically accurate if he wouldn't have told them and measured and then told them later that they were going to do the 4-day work week. But basically, if you can just get as many metrics as possible that would indicate, you know, the success of your company or the direction that things are going, and get those before informing your employees that you're considering the 4-day work week, that to me is the first place to start, because then you have a baseline to measure everything from.
Gotcha. Well, Rob, if people are interested in learning more, what's a great way to get in touch with
you? I'd love to chat with people, Dave. What one thing that people can do to see my work is go to humansfirst.us. And then another thing that I just wanted to offer your listeners is a free 30-minute consultation with me. So if people want to redeem that, all they need to do is just email me. My email address is rob@humansfirst.us. And if you just mention this podcast in the subject line, I'm happy to chat with you for free for half an hour and chat with, you know, talk to you a little bit about the 4-day work week and any other technology mindfulness stuff that people might be interested in discussing.
Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.